his first supporter.
And the poem is called Fisher of Poets.
Well, you can read it. You can stand here with me.
The prop.
Yes, the it is for you. I want you to experience it. Your figure. Okay, here we go. Fisher of Poets. Your figure of a tall bearded bard. Silvering tail curling down your shoulder. Standing against the dark, starry sky and the backdrop of the city lights. Chatting, glinting, sparkling life. Standing like Noah above the heaving sea of the city. Reaching out to like-minded creatures. Swimming lost in the ocean, looking for a path, an aim, a door, a hand, a name. Like a fisherman in the sea, you reel in the talents. Invite them to come onto this ark up in the hayloft to find a voice, response, respect. You fisher of poets, your soul and a heart. Fisher of poets, you know your art. Your ark is an anchor, a lifeline to take. An invitation to join the journey. Development follows from connection, and space is given with grace for the path of the poet. And before any soul can evade, you entice us with encouragement. You find us at our level. You connect. You fisher of poets. You're a soul and a heart, fisher of poets. You know your art. You have woven a net of poetry, embracing all sections, directions of the spectrum, binding the scenes of the city into the sea we all become when we find a voice, response, respect, a hand, a door. You fisher of poets, your soul and a heart, breathing life into poetry by sparking us together in starry nights and seeing the sparks sending ripples down the river. You fisher of poets, your soul and a heart, fisher of poets. You know your art.
Thanks, Ros, that was beautiful. Thanks, William. We nearly want to cancel the rest of the night after that. I said to Ros, we should do it last, and she said no, because there'd be a lot of people gone, and that was a valid argument. But unfortunately, no, somebody has to follow that. And John, thank you, you get the pleasure. Thank you.
Success is beautiful. It's a beautiful truth. Beauty is success. It's a beautiful lie. It succeeds in fooling the beautiful. It succeeds in fooling the not-so. Beauty has been robbed from the eye of the beholder for commercial gain. Don't buy the message. Sell your own beauty. Take revenge. Revenge the beautiful.
Thanks, John. Revenge is beautiful. Can't think about all the people I upset. Fucking hell. That's that thought process. Megan Cronin is next.
So this is an old one, but just based on the theme of the night. And just listen to Stephen talk there throughout the night about creating and learning who you are through creating. Just reminded me that last year I injured myself during a sport, and I wasn't writing at the time either, and I didn't really link the two for a long time, but I think I was writing because of things I was realising during the sport, like body positivity and body image, and that also is also like a huge thing for mental health as well. So this is just a poem I wrote when I finally realised the two linked together. So it's called Transformation. I had a dream last night that I was dying. Not that I was physically sick or anything, no, I was trying to die. So I woke up this morning not feeling quite right, because dreaming of dying is not something you take light. In this dream, three goodbye letters myself I did write, with instructions and advice before I bid a good night. And I was trying to find a simple way to do it, one where I wouldn't feel much or wait more than a minute. I was advised to go to a breathing class in a pool where we held our breath underwater for a minute or two. Once I learned what to do, I had to hold it until my mind stopped thinking and my body was still. Nobody questioned my mission, just accepted it and let me go. It was just something I had to do. And I looked up its meaning, and it seems that dreaming of my own death is something quite appealing, as it signifies a transformation. A transformation. Devoutly to be wished, it seems. Enough my mind decided to explore it in a dream. And when I was researching this, there was two things I had to find. The first was why I was dreaming of trying to die, and the second was the cause of the intended death and why. Upon researching why I dreamt of such a demise, I learned it was time for me to say my goodbyes to my old self and make room for the new, because sometimes it's just something you have to do. In order to emerge stronger than before, both physically, mentally and emotionally too, you must destroy what is left of the badness that's inside of you. This led me to question, what exactly was I changing? And only two things came to mind, riding and roller skating. This time last year I began my riding career, not literally of course, but I did start right here. And over the course of a few months to a year, I wrote a couple of poems that kicked me into gear. But recently, I've been struggling to write something new. I was looking for a sign, something of a breakthrough. And it wasn't for the lack of inspiration, but the fear of living up to my own expectation. I did try write again, but with a touch of hesitation. When you write something great, there's a mix of feelings. The first is accomplishment and a sense of healing. The second comes much later. The sense of how can I write something as good or even greater than something people liked and I loved even more. You give yourself a pass so you won't even try to write like before. Back in March I played a game called Roller Derby. I don't remember how, but I fell and hurt my knee. I missed a couple of matches, maybe two or three. Couldn't train but was still a coach of the new fresh meat. At first I was afraid of how unfit I'd be, but then I had to focus on my recovery. At one point I thought, that's it, I'm done, I quit. Until I remembered how fun it is to hit. Now although I still can't skate until I'm fully fixed, I'm working on my nutrition, other bits of fitness. I'll return a beast and be thankful that I did. When I get back on skates, they'll be calling me the comeback kid.
I'm so glad you decided you were going to do it, because you were humming and hawing. And another night when I did a good job as MC and I had time, I'd actually tell you a few bits about how good researching your dreams is for your mental health, but I've done a shit job and I've been sacked 6 times. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the only man on the open mic who has a stage now, the Jungle Luke.
The young sun rose me this morning in a hammock overhanging Tabsidette waterfall, glowworms no longer to be seen. I was stiff-backed and decided I'd jog it off. It had been too long. Within seconds of starting, the wilderness was taking me for a run. Building up speed beneath banana trees and prancing over streams, I see three birds free, and so I follow their lead, their flight taking them in and out of sight until I reach the end of the path and I'm about to turn back when I find myself gazing upon a less trodden track. And so I follow up and up, my whole skin beginning to breathe, past an old hut full of soul, but not a person to be seen, only browns and greens. And on top I drink the juice of wild jungle passion fruits. I find mushrooms too for making tea, but leave them for the forest fairies. Back down to the path I see two bluebirds waiting, three birds free. And they take me back to Tabsidette's base, where I find the perfect sand patch awaits me. Downwards dog, standing tree, bare-skinned in building chi. And in her smooth, gritty clay, I'm covered head to toe. Sure, who needs soap? And so I climbed her base, up the jagged water face, until I found the perfect spot where I could take her weight, head to rock. And there I screamed in glee, till I got brain freeze. This morning, the mosquitoes of Tabsidette left me be.
Thank you. Thanks, Luke. I have no idea where I was during that, but it wasn't here. Seamus Harrington is next.
Bikers, trainer. Long distance roadies, refugees from boredom, straddling broad saddle, heavy duty four strokes. Devoted Hell's Angels, we have heard on High Street, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us to evil, Knievel, stunt bike, lookalikes. Amen.
So next up is the man who sacked me for the first time tonight and started a trend which I'm really struggling to swim against, Joey Murphy.
Yeah, you're right. Can I do two short ones? I can say no.
Do three if you want.
Seven. I am not the only one counting. Jerry does, when Jerry says short poems, they are short.
Oh, they are tiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. This is called From the Paris Archives. You might like this, actually. Spring 1943. She sits outside a small, sunlit table just off the Champs-Élysées. Elegant, fragrant, radiant. Coco Chanel waiting patiently for her Nazi officer lunch date. She spent about 2 years living with this German intelligence officer in Paris, and she was questioned after the war, and they sort of slapped her wrist and said, don't do it again. And she didn't. This is, we're reading this at a festival in Rathmines with Gerald Wolfe, and he was kind of nervous at the crowd. It was about 400 or 500 people in the hall there. Rathmines Community Hall, or the actual town hall. And he said, would you start? And I said, I'm going to start with something new, and it could go one way or the other. And luckily it went, or this is called, you know that essay by Harold Bloom on the anxiety of influence?
Yeah.
Very long
yes,
essay.
Yeah.
You've read it,
of course.
Yeah. This is based on that. It's called The Anxiety of Influence, and it goes like this. Yeats, you cunt.
If you want to write a short poem, that's how you fucking write. That is just genius. I have to say, you know, Joey, when you said you might like this, I thought you were talking about Linda, and then you said about Paris, and I thought it's definitely about Linda, and then came the punchline. Patricia Walsh.
This is a poem I wrote years ago, so just a second. New style effective for a while, and years and years and years of deers in the sink mesh, caged and braided for year, later years and years and years, of artificial edges in our own blood and honesty. Holding at the wrong time to test and what we think is best. The gutter stews in our own candlelight, and the cloying in the eyes of the sweet has fallen shattered. The new centre of the bard, reinstating the bore of almost nothing to do, and almost every twist in her face and ankle from receiving this, the wavelength has drowned. And rebels obsoleted, let the bells have breath foretold, I've been very, very bold. Sweep from shores and every weeping and its claws, and consequences in the dark falls from the softness of cold walls, as a part of one span from the mist, and crisis all over the state, more sisters will break for its own wanton sake.
Thanks a million, Tricia. Thank you so much. Niall Harriott is next.
Yeah. It's a small piece called Whirlpools. A lot of people would probably think this is slowly nonsense. And I think there may be a little Zen sense in it. It's influenced by reading Alex, is it Alex Watts? Alan Watts, Alan Watts, who Stephen mentioned earlier. World books. In the game of life, we can be who we think we are and still be able to see the greater reality living life through us as part of the hologram. Interactive, interconnected, and sometimes reciprocal. We can experience everything, both the good and the bad, either with joyful exuberance or as dramatic challenge. The universe, perhaps multiverse, is simply energy at play. Or, to look at it another way, the greater reality is an ocean of possibilities, and we are whirlpools in a changing tide. Thanks.
Thanks, Mel. That's a great reality I quite like. Take that home and think about it. Thank you. Glasses, for the eighth time I've sacked away. Philip Spillane.
What's my name in my own language? Slowly all the MCs are learning. And what are we now? Two moons discussing how we orbit around each other. Somebody's talking about us.
So we start
again. And what are we now? Two moons discussing how we orbit one another. A candlestick with two wicks, sharing the same heart flame. A sunset across from a moonrise, a red running into a wine. Our eyes locking, potentially meeting, but pretending that we're missing. We are only present visitors, forecasting distant future moments, only that we're fleetingly intersecting in these cobblestone crossroads. Our shadows dim in this night, morph into the one shroud. And that's terrifyingly, honestly, how shadows pass on. And that's how we will pass on. That's why I ask you, what are we now? Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. You know, they start writing, they start going, you know, finding your own voice. Philip's from his own language and his name on the open mic. Says Philip's plan, and there's this, you know, I don't know, like scribble after. I said, what's that, Philip?
Klingon.
This is exactly what he said. That's my name in my own language. Wow. Sorry, Luke, you're not the only one on the stage, and it's just, I don't know the language of that one. Jim Pickard is going to come on, Jim, come on. Come on, Jim.
So I wanted to kind of keep in theme with tonight, with like first fortnight and mental health, but to have a little bit of fun with it and just kind of like do my own little twist on it and amuse myself mostly, I think. So this is called A Film for Depressives. Someday I'll bore audiences worldwide. Lights, cameras, in action. A somber ingenue stares out a window for hours. A film featuring the struggle of cleaning, eating, taking showers. I am the Steven Seagal of depression. Diving off trains are not my domain, but I do make kangaroo leaps into false conclusions. Getting out of bed is a mission impossible. I stare from the edge, wondering how low the drop goes, its blackness. This movie is rated universal. I chase my nemesis all the way to the bathroom mirror, like a dog chasing its tail and finally biting. I suppose I want to make some point about mental health with this film, that the blackness is never far from light.
Thanks, Jim. I'm going to borrow a line from that and introduce the rest of the poets with the line. So Cedric, lights, action. No, what is it, lights?
Camera,
in action. Camera, lights, in action. Eight times I've been back.
Eight last time.
I have to be sacked now because I can't count.
He was wanting to be sacked.
Okay, so I've actually created this character. I've been trying to draw it for a while. In the dream of being a comic artist one day, maybe in another life. Anyway. This is a story that I'm trying to develop eventually. This is the story of this character called Keith. Keith walked across the street, despite the brightest sun of the year and the green lamp for pedestrian. His figure stopped the traffic. He was a black pair of fingers pressing the keys of a muted piano, swiftly striding on the surface. Keith moved forward, uncaring for the attention he generated. To him, at that moment, only mattered the point of rendezvous. The gods would not allow lateness from him, for he was blessed. The gods. The sole thought of them made him feel so small, when to a world of mortals. He was a black slender giant, clad with black clothes and the blackest skin. The brightest sun would barely make it shimmer blue, in contrast to his blacker eyes. When his last step reached the sidewalk, the lamp reverted to red. With him stopping in place, the world resumed its dance. Keith reached for the bag on his side and pulled a small white object and looked around as to appreciate the scenery. There were seven doors before him, each to the color of the rainbow, seemingly painted on the concrete walls. The other buildings behind were not so peculiar, and the colorful crowd finished to blur the vision of them. He rolled his joint hand, holding the object, and kissed it. Then, in silence, his lips started moving. Without interruption of each hand, Kit turned his turned face to the sun and blue sky, eyes closed, silently chanting still. Once done, the street was cleared of most of his passerby. With a last look around, Keith moved toward the indigo entrance. Upon arrival, he drew a white glyph under the red door bell button, with a piece of chalk in his left hand, posing his right hand against the door, which opened without pressure. The darkness inside sobered him.
Make sure that a dream of being a graphic artist, is that what you call it, a graphic artist? Uh-huh. Yeah, make sure that happens in this life.
Yeah.
Don't mind putting on to the next one, you know what's going to happen in the next one, mate.
Yeah.
As Rab will tell you, probably right now.
A Protestant poem. My anger and frustration leads to my self-devaluation, to degradation, lethargy and sloth. Boom, boom. By sitting, smoking, thinking, procrastinating and drinking, I get to the place where I don't give a toss.
Boom, boom, boom.
And the only thing I've found to consistently make my world go round is work, practice, effort. Call it what you will. Hey, sometimes it's a bitter pill, but still, work, practice, effort leads to true relaxation. Instead of sitting around chewing off your fingernails, with agitation. Work, practice, effort.
That's how you become a graphic artist. All right, Rob?
Yeah. I repent, you worthless sinners.
Fucking channeling John Knox there.
Kill on. It's going to close the show.
Just like to echo what Stephen was saying earlier about the festival and more power to them for the work that they do. And yeah, the crossover is going to be on in a couple of weeks, so if you're around to do more. I think like mental health things, like a prevention is better than a cure in lots of time, and the kind of basic ingredients for what gives somebody the opportunity for happiness or peace of mind are kind of widely known, and if the society in which you live, like, you can list them off as basic, like food, water, shelter, and if they become unattainable, then it's fairly understandable that life will become stressful and challenging. And in this country, shelter is not widely attainable. So this is called the manifestation of a situation. It's kind of about the biggest stress in my life right now, anyway, and many others, so more power to them. You're saying money is more important than people, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying, thinking, assuming everyone else is thinking the same, that it's not. It approaches mid-December. You're saying we have to be out the gap by 9 Jan. We are saying, what happens after the gap? Where do you escape to? When you get a blood nose at the price of gaffes, and here you blow your own trumpet and crack your own laughs. I'm 25, working and dead clear. Haven't missed a week's rent since I got here. Yet you say it's go time at HQ. Bodies make way for the money to move hands. Might sell within 3 months. And if I, for one, took my cue, as the law would have me do, and hoped to find shelter on the streets, leave a building empty just to have the world tempt me into hunger uppers, downers, ill health, violence, and crime. And I hold no weather reports. But say February hit hard again, Celsius dipped on the stock exchange, and I died of exposure. I hope there's an oil picture painted of you thrusting a knife into my back, your hand in my pocket, your initials on the charges when they're pressed. You are saying it's okay for any one of us to die today. You live it out and breathe it in, and of course about it, clench fists and shout hoarse without it. And misty whispers to your friends, distasteful jokes and brown paper envelopes. You lock eyes with ground dwellers as you climb a ladder, see them fade smaller and laugh. And praise be to the genius that said, let's let alone landlords decide the rules for landlords. Same day that he dreamt up that bankers regulate the banks. And I'm up for leaving who's with me. When all your children say, I'm up for leaving who's with me. And all your teachers say, I'm up for leaving who's with me. And all your nurses say, I'm up for leaving who's with me. All the workers say, I'm leaving who's with me. I will not, cannot pay to stop my basic needs being stripped away. We were wrought with flesh and bone, and you were loyal to clay. You won't be there to watch me find a new day. When all your young have left you, and your tap drips to a beat, and quiet creaks all about the house you waste oil to heat, and your vacant stare falls upon the shadows at your feet, and the cold truth hits you that your whole life was a lie, I hope you have the decency to cry. Thank you.
believers now. I lied. My ex cream just put a hand up. Come on, Max. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Because he said to come up and sit behind. And I'm on the other side of the light. So, this is half Swedish, half cock. No more champagne, and no more being a pain. Here we are, me and you. No weight lost and feeling blue. It's the end of the party, and so grey in the cold cave. So unlike yesterday, but it is well for ye to say. Happy New Year, feel a bit queer. Don't be a cranky hen in a world where all God's creatures and the neighbour should be friends. Happy New Year, fags are so dear. Oh God, may the Lord spare us from the bags of yokes and the dope. But to the mercy we must go, lay down and die, you and I. Sometimes I see how the brave new world arrives, and the scamps always thrive, making ashes of our lives. But the cark one's no fool, he'll always be okay. Drags no idle feet of clay, suffers no fools on his way. Happy New Year, Happy New Year. May we all have a vision now and then of a world where every neighbor is a friend. Happy New Year, Happy New Year. May we all have our hopes, our will to try. If we don't, we might just lay down and die, you and I. Sorry, we've done this much.
Thanks, mate. So glad you put your hand up. That was fabulous, Greg. Thanks a million. No. Just before we finish up, you know, there's loads of things about mental health, and, you know, being kind to yourself is really important for mental health. Being kind to others, as Roz was to Paul earlier on, is really good for you as well. And laughter is really good for you as well, you know, doing things that make you laugh. So I kind of caught between a rock and a hard stool here. If you go back to the start, I remember Claire, who introduced on behalf of First Morning, she wrote a 5-word poem and said to me, do not read it. So I might be a little bit unkind to her to read it, but I'm reading it, and I get a great kick out when I email and say, listen to the podcast when it goes up. This is it. The black dog was in my head. It was so mental that I thought there was a kangaroo. We're at the end. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to say that being here for me has been good for my mental health. It always is to come to your bed. Thank you for sharing your stories, your gifts, and yourself with us. And we'll see you next week for the 591st one. And I want to say a particular thank you to our guest, Stephen James Smith.